everybody, and welcome. Once again, it's time for Real Laughs on 104.1. The voice you're hearing right now is Mr. James Yan. I am the host of tonight's show. I can't wait to get started here. It's going to be a good time for everybody involved. I'm joined in virtual studio by my good friend and the producer of my show, The Lowdown, with James Yan on Xfinity Comcast, Mr. Mike Herlihy is with me tonight. Mike, how you doing, brother?
Yeah, man. It's, you know, just the two of us. I know we're in virtual studios and we're alone anyways, but it always feels a little lonelier when you pull up the screen and there's only one other face. You're like, oh, where is everybody? What's everybody doing that's more important than this tonight?
Nothing. They're wasting their time, man. Because
where are they out having fun and I'm here? What's going on?
It's funny you say that, actually, because I don't want to be out anymore. At my age, I've turned into that guy. I'm a homebody, brother. I am the happiest when I have no plans. It makes me giddy.
I get that, but I also know you'll venture out for certain things, like going to the movies. We were talking about that a couple of days ago. Like, I still haven't taken it upon myself to go into a theater again, and that's one of the few exceptions you'll make now to go see a movie on the big screen.
I definitely won't make an exception and go to a movie, but I'm that guy that'll go in the middle of the afternoon because I don't want to go with a bunch of teenagers. So I will go at noon. I'll go at 2 just to avoid the rush, sit there in the theater with just me and the missus by ourselves and have a damn good time. That's how I'll do the movies.
And I love that, and I've tried that, but I think it's just me, man. No matter what, I can be the only one in the theater.
Yeah.
And as soon as the credits or the opening credits start hitting, two people will come walking in, talking at full volume, like, oh, look, we got this place all to ourselves. Oh, there's a guy there. Let's go sit in front of him and proceed to have our phones lit up at full thing, telling everybody, can't talk right now in a movie. Can't talk right now in a movie. And then just loud opening of snacks they snuck in and talking. And
it's the loudest snack. Like, what did you order with aluminum foil? Like, like, so loud. Are you actually popping the popcorn in the theater?
Like, and it's like, it's always the people who have never opened a bag of anything in their life because they're sitting there twisting every angle, and then they finally get it, it pops. I can't do it, man. I can't.
And they will sit, open theater, they will sit right next to you. Why? You have to be on some kind of list or on some kind of spectrum to be that kind of sociopath. Like, what person walks in, sees that everything's open except two people sitting down, like, you know what? I want to sit next to them to make this as awkward as possible.
And see, it's not so bad now with if you can go to those theaters that have the recliner seats.
True.
You know, because you got some distance. Good distance and everything else. But in the old days, remember, there was no seat assignment. You got there, you grabbed what you could, and you would throw your feet up on the seat in front of you, and you would just hope it didn't fill up, because you knew once it filled up, you were going to have to move your feet. But even then, there was always the one guy that would come and just be like, oh, there's 20 seats this side, 20 seats this side. No, I need to sit right here.
And there's certain etiquette in a movie theater. Like, look, like if you're in a movie theater and we're sitting down, we're having a good time, we're watching the movie like we're supposed to, and there's somebody talkative behind you. The way it works is if you just slightly turn and give them the look,
that should be enough.
It was understood. Like, all right, you know what? My bad, man. Let me quiet down so you can enjoy your movie. Now, nobody cares. You can give them the look. You can even politely ask them to stop. But no, it's all about that person who's trying to have a conversation or they just want to be on their phone. Like, it's the most annoying thing.
There's nothing worse than the people who won't turn off their phones during the movie. Like, I don't care if you got it. But if you're going to turn on your phone, great. But have it on that low dim setting. Like, you don't need a lot of light in there, because if I'm watching a movie and all of a sudden just this beacon lighthouse comes out the right side of my eye, I can't focus. I can't focus on anything. I'm trying to watch the Avengers. You're trying to land planes. You know, you just need to simmer down, man. Simmer down.
Who turned on this lighthouse? Like, what are we doing?
Who spends all the money to go to a movie between the parking and the tickets and the concessions? Who spends all that money and then comes in and goes, eh, let me do anything besides shut up and watch the damn movie? Who does that? Animals.
They're called jackasses. Yeah, that's the people who do that. Absolutely, man.
It was funny. I went to see not too long ago, they were doing a re-release of some of those, right before the pandemic, they were doing a re-release of some of those classic 80 films on the big screen.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
One of the films they did was Back to the Future. So I was like,
Great movie.
We went, saw Back to the Future. We're enjoying it. But here's the thing. On films like that, those should be reserved for people who have seen the movie and now just want to re-experience on the big screen.
Yes.
Nothing's worse than some 40-year-old couple who brought their teenage kids in there and their kids every 2 minutes. Are, who's that guy? What's that guy up to? Wasn't that the guy that was in that other thing with that?
Yeah.
Shut up. We've all seen the movie. We know the plot. We're not going to be surprised. We're just enjoying the experience.
It.
And these people are seeing the movie for the first time, and you're a little bit envious, but you also want to kind of like headbutt them. You know, it's like that perfect mix.
That's how you know you love them, when you want to headbutt them. That's it.
I'm glad you're enjoying the movie, but we all know that's Huey Lewis. Shut up.
Yeah, shut up. Hey, Grandpa, how come they're not using their cell phone?
Yeah. And that's the thing, dude. They're like, in the future, they were supposed to have hoverboards by now? Yes, we were promised hoverboards, and now you know why we're all angry old people. Because we thought we were going to have hoverboards, and instead you gave us TikTok.
That's true. In even trade.
Which, TikTok, Mike Hurley, if you got the time, I'm trying to get like 2,000 followers right now. I need to be TikTok famous so I don't have to work again. That's what I'm trying to get to. Oh, and all those people out there, they're like, being a TikTok famous is work. I don't think you've ever had real work. I don't think you've ever done anything with your hands.
No, so. No we have friends of ours that are doing very well at TikTok.
Very well
at TikTok, man.
Good for them.
But I don't know how that works, though. Like, I'm still the old guy where I have not figured out what people want. Like, I don't have anything to offer people, let's say, with a video that I can make and come up with that would go viral. I just don't know how it works. Right. I see some videos and I'm like, man, it's not a bad video. I just didn't or wouldn't think this is what people would watch and this is what millions of people would latch on to. I just don't know how it works. I guess,
James,
I don't understand it.
You're no insults here. You're a married man who landed a wonderful woman. So you managed to convince one person that you were following for the rest of your life. All you got to do is do that 3 million more times. How hard can it be?
You know how hard it was?
I know. You're like, wait a minute. I have to fool everybody? Yes.
Yes. Yes. I mean, you're good at it, Mike. Like, you have some videos, man. Very good. Like, I just don't know what people want.
You know what we need to do? We need to get Ben Brainerd in here on the show.
Wait, one day. Absolutely.
And just talk about, because there's so much more than just posting a video nowadays. It's, you got to post that video, but you also, there's an algorithm to this whole
thing
that people talk about a lot. And there's certain times of the day, there's days not to post. And it really is, now it all gets a bunch easier when you have 3 million followers. You know, you got people going, but I mean, with TikTok, the main thing is to get on that For You page, which is just that randomizer, and there's so much that goes into that. But, you know, I can't explain how great it is that younger comics, or just entertainers in general. Do you know on my radio now, there's a whole station called TikTok, and it's the music of TikTok. So, like, before, if you wanted to play music, I got buddies who are musicians, tried forever to break in, tried to get picked up by a label, tried to sign contracts just to have a label make all the money off them just so they could be somewhat
out there, get their name known.
You really are, if you're an entertainer now, you can build up your following from your living room. And if you're not doing steps to do that, then something's wrong, because you have your way in nowadays, which is what we didn't have when we were young. You know, when we were comics starting out, the whole thing was do as many clubs as you could, go to all the crappy rooms, perform for three people, take horrible money, and build up your fan base one at a time. There's kids who have never even done stand-up that can pack out a theater now before me, and good for them. I'm not going to lie, I'm a little bit jealous, but at the same time, I need to get off my butt and start doing it, you know?
Gotcha. Now we would normally call that when you can make or you can be a social media star and kind of advance yourself more quickly than a traditional comic would. We call that skipping the line. Now it does sound kind of negative, but it's not, because we've seen some guys do it both ways. Like, there are certain people who are YouTube sensations who did some shows at a local comedy club and it worked once. They packed the place out because they were banking on their notoriety, and it works because these guys have millions of followers. But there are some guys who are working in stand-up comedy before they hit, so they actually had an act. So once they go to the club, they got an act to follow it. So I'm like you. I need to figure this crap out. It's on me.
And that was big when in the days of Vine, when everybody was doing those. So you get these Vine guys that have a huge following. They give them a night at the Improv or any other comedy club. Because comedy clubs, here's something that's going to blow your mind. Comedy clubs, most of the time, don't care about comedy.
They
just
sure don't.
Put, they are a food and beverage industry. So gotcha. They want to put butts in seats and they want to sell tickets and they want to make, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's the business.
It's a business. Yes.
So absolutely. If you're a Vine guy and you have 3 million followers and they know they can put you on stage and sell tickets and they're going to pack out their room and sell $8 drinks and $12 mm-hmm. appetizers, they're going to put you up there. Now, as an audience member, you go to see that Vine guy who's funny in 7 seconds increments, mm-hmm. trying to be funny for 45 minutes in one shot. A lot of times it was a failure.
It did not work.
It did not work, but the club didn't care. They made their money. The Vine That's guy right. didn't care. He got paid for the night, and the audience got to see the celebrity they wanted to see. So
everybody
level,
was okay.
Everybody's happy. Everybody's That's- happy.
That is the crazy part about how all that stuff works. So what we're basically saying, ladies and gentlemen, me and Mike, we're going to be on TikTok. So please follow.
100%.
It's called Two Sad Dads. Please follow us on TikTok.
Yeah. And, you know, it's great because that gives you a chance to build your following. Like, look at Ben Brainerd right now. He was hosting for guys like me and you. I took him on one of his first paid host dates. Mm-hmm. He was featuring. He wasn't even featuring at Bonkers yet, I don't believe, at local comedy clubs. But now he can go to clubs and theaters throughout the country and know that he can fill up. They're giving him a lot of one-nighters right now, rightfully so. But he can go pack out those rooms, and that is great. And that's the value of what's out there now. Because before, you had to be a comedian, you had to go on the road, you had to work at someone else's features, you had to build up your following, you had to have a production or an agency company get behind you to start pitching your stuff.
You needed a machine.
And now all you need to do is show that you can put 300 butts in seats on a Tuesday night, and guess what? You can be an entertainer.
And that's all comedy clubs really care about, people. It's not a mean thing. It's just capitalism. Capitalism doesn't have any feelings. It's not good. It's not evil. It's just a tool, if you will. And that tool says that we just want to make money, and that's what businesses do. So right or wrong, man, if you have a following, you can get yourself into most places.
Just to put it in perspective, this is how much it's about selling drinks and selling food. Louis C.K. went through all his stuff, got canceled, right?
Yes.
Bill Cosby got arrested, went through his
Absolutely.
Stuff, got canceled. But there are clubs booking Louis C.K. right now. There were clubs willing to book Bill Cosby the minute he walked out of jail.
Absolutely
and then
right.
The only reason they didn't was because there was so much heat on Coming how they booked him. So they realized booking him for this night will make us a ton of money for the night, but that might affect the boycotting
future
of us
sales.
In the future. That just shows you it's not about morals or comedy or anything else. It's how can I charge? What's You were a food and beverage guy. Liquor costs is supposed to be around 24 cents. 24 cents is your cost.
It's about 20%. So it's a beautiful markup. Yeah,
it is. So that's what they're looking to do. How do I sell this bottle of Jack I bought for, you know, $10?
There you go.
For, you know, 40, 50.
The real star of every comedy show is alcohol.
This is how you know, because comedy is the only entertainment where you have a 2-drink required minimum. You don't go to the ballet and they're like, hey, 2 martinis before you get to go and watch the girls dance. You know, that's strip club rules, you know.
That is strip club rules. Hey, no touching. Imagine ballets would be much more interesting if they could touch like a strip clubs like that.
Wow. Yeah. And how bad is it that until I was like 21 and 22, one of our girls said she was a dancer. That's what I thought she did. I'm like, oh. I've never been. Is it hard to stand on just your tippy toes like that? Is that the shoes or is that? Wait a minute. What are those high heels? Yeah.
Exactly. Well, she's like, well, no, it's extra, but no, it's not that hard. Got it. Got it. As everybody always knows, it's funny when we always talk about strip clubs because, you know, I've still never been to one. I've seen many perform at my house, but I've never actually been to an actual strip club.
Yeah, we were actually Jeff Kaufman, who's not on the show. He'll be on the show Wednesday and Thursday. But we're talking about doing a remote at the brand new opening of Diamond Dolls. Is it Diamond Dolls or Baby Dolls?
You're asking the wrong guy.
Well, you're gonna be there. It's gonna be a real laughs remote. You gotta go.
Nice. Well, I'm moving to one of you guys. All right, everybody, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back on Real Laughs.
Sanford, Lake Mary, Deltona, and all surrounding areas. Live comedy every first and third Sunday at 4 p.m. at the all-new Whiny Winch Theater. Located inside the Seminole Town Center Mall, huge upcoming shows. Sunday, October 24th, special time of 6 p.m., The Scary Laughs Comedy Show, featuring New York City actor and comedian Solo Jones and headliner Vince Taylor and friends. Costume contest with cash prizes on Sunday, November 7th at 4 p.m., as seen on Last Comic Standing with a new Dry Bar special on YouTube. 20-plus year veteran, comedian Nikki Carr and friends live at The Wench. This and many more amazing shows await you every other Sunday at the Whiny Wench Comedy Show, located inside the Seminole Town Center Mall, once again twice monthly. The Whiny Wench Comedy Show, located inside the Seminole Town Center Mall in beautiful Sanford, Florida. Alex Soto Comedy, we are healing the world with laughter.
Welcome back, everybody. You are just still listening to Real Laughs on 104.1. The voice you're hearing is your host, Mr. James Ian. I'm joined in virtual studio with a new guest. That's right, joining us, Mr. Miguel Colon Jr. is in the house now. Miguel, what's going on?
What's up, guys?
Hey.
Nah, not bad at all. And that voice you're hearing is Mr. Mike Herlihy. We were actually just talking about, Miguel, the fact that it's okay sometimes in comedy, the new way that you can make it to the big time, man. We're just bigging up some people in Orlando one more time, Mr. Ben Brainer. Just talking about the fact that there's a new way. TikTok's the way that you can actually get into the business and skip the line, if you will. Not the traditional way of what we did, going to clubs, performing for free, hoping the right person's there, management's there to see you so you can work the club,
I'm glad the new way's there.
Yeah.
Because it's giving people a chance to be like, oh, the people think Ben Brainerd's funny. The people want to support him. Then nobody else can stop him and tell him.
It's a great self-promotion tool. Sure.
Yeah. It's just a great tool for regulating the business. Who are the people coming to see? The people they want to see.
That's right.
Not the people the club is telling you need to see.
Or not the agencies who decide who get to be household names.
And I never thought of it that way. You're absolutely right. They have found a way to bypass the gatekeeper. They found a way to be like, no, you don't get to decide my fate at this club. You don't get to decide where I get to work. No, I'm going to put out my own stuff and people like it, they will come see me.
Yeah, they're going to get rid of a system that let me tell you, and we all know this. I would say honestly for the past 30 years before like the past 8 years. So,
yeah.
For about 30 years, great comics, ladies and gentlemen, who were amazing, didn't move up because people didn't want them up. They weren't the right sell. They didn't look good enough.
Not the right look. Not young enough.
Yeah, they weren't what people who were trying to control the industry were saying would work.
Absolutely.
And then you got the TikTok era comes in. The Vine era was huge.
We were talking about that. I think Vine started it. I think Vine was huge.
YouTube, Vine, all this. It started the era of, well, I don't care what you think. Mm-hmm. I've got 180,000 people who say I'm funny. And that should matter more than the 90-year-old club promoter who used to work the borscht belt and is telling you that Lenny Bruce would have never thought you were funny.
Look at Bo Burnham. He's one of those first guys I consider like made a YouTube celebrity. You know, he was doing his piano playing videos. He's a guy that never went and did open mic starting out, never came up the traditional way. And now he's got like his special day released during the pandemic is like one of the top comedy specials of all times right now.
Absolutely. Yeah.
This isn't baseball. This isn't football. This isn't something where you do need, you know, 15 years of mechanical training so that your body can be peak. This is something that if you grasp it, you dedicate yourself to it and you understand what works, it works. This is like film writing. Yes, go to school, become a film school and all this stuff can help you if you embrace it. You know, open mics and stuff like that can truly help you if you embrace it. Yes. But if you're good and you understand how it works, you can still be good in this business, you know? Right. And then you can always go back. Open mics like college. You can always go back. I was just talking to a buddy of mine and he was like,
that's a great analogy.
Well, my buddy just said, he was like, oh, yeah. He goes, I just saw Ari Shaffir at a couple open mics. He's like, I didn't think that guy would go to open mics. Like, he's probably working on something that he doesn't want to bomb at a club yet. And he doesn't care because already he's going to come out. Ari Shaffir is going to walk on stage. Everybody's going to love the experience. He told them straight up when he came on stage, too. He's like, hey, I don't know if this is good or not yet. So let's try it out.
That's funny. That's the interesting part, man, I think, is the fact that we are working so hard to get to those clubs, right? Those big clubs, those A clubs, the ones that, you know, pay better money than we're used to. And then it's funny to hear about these famous guys who use those clubs and working so hard to get into. They use them just to work out material for their next special. Like, that's their open mic, is the club we're dying to get into.
This is what's happening, guys. We are the mafia. It is 1930, and a bunch of young Turks are telling us that heroin's the business. And we're like, I don't want to be in the heroin business. Hey. It's hookers and gambling. That's going to keep us going forever. Guess what, man? The heroin business is taking over, and that's the social media comedy game. And if you could sit all day long and start saying it's not going to work, I don't care, that's not how I want to do it, and have fun being the funniest dude performing in your city for the rest of your life.
And that's scary, because, brother, I'm in that weird space.
This is where I think, James, guys like me, you, Mike, Ken, where we can succeed in this. Some of these younger guys have a better grasp on this than we do, and we haven't taken the time to learn it. Honestly, we haven't taken the time to go to YouTube University and figure everything out, and some of us have, but we still have the ability to work these guys. I know comics that I'm watching on other people's TikToks, and they're on younger kids' TikToks, and they're helping write, and they're being a part of it, and they're using their strength of writing connections to get cool things to be in these TikTok videos, and they're getting put on with these TikTok stars. So they're saying, I know an old guy on the road with Ben Brainerd right now.
I was going to say.
But that's what we're supposed to do. Listen, man, they're ahead of us on this. We need to learn from them, but in learning from them, we also need to provide something. And there's things we can provide to some of these younger social media celebrities that can help us be beneficial to them as well as they benefit us. The game should always be changing. Like, rap wise, I look at it like hip hop, and I look at why did Jay-Z remain so relevant? Because he remained relevant. You know,
he never stopped doing
things.
And that's a great analogy, because what's happening also, I'm learning with this thing we do called comedy, not only is videos an avenue, but just maintaining your social media is a necessary evil. You've got to constantly keep feeding the machine. You've got to keep putting a post up 3 times a day at certain times, 7, 11, and then in the evening at 5. Like, I've been watching the guys who are successful at it, and it's a job. I'm not gonna lie to
it's
you
it's a job, man.
You got to put the work in if you want to get something out of it, man.
It's like OnlyFans, girl. So many people thought, oh, I'll just do OnlyFans, and they're
it's hard.
It's real work. It's work too. Everything's work. That's what people don't get. Everything's work. And, like, you know what they say? If you do the thing you love, you'll never work another day in your life. BS. If you do the thing you love,
thank you.
Yeah.
Thank
you're going to work doing that too, but at least you'll love some of it.
Brother, I do comedy. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mike.
Oh, no problem. My grandfather used to say all the time, find what you love to do, learn how to make money doing it. You'll never work a day in your life. And then my dad used to tell me, find something you love, turn it into a job, and you'll learn to hate it. Yeah, and that's how he was. That's how he was with guitar playing. He's like, once I started playing guitar for money and being out every weekend playing, he's like, I never wanted to play guitar again. He's like, I hate it. There was no joy. I took what I enjoyed doing, my escape from things, and turned it into a money-making thing. And then all of a sudden, you're going out on those gigs. You don't feel like going out. You don't want to leave your family. Your voice is hurting that night. You're dealing with drunks and idiots and everything else. And he's like, once I left playing guitar for money, he's like, I never picked up a guitar again.
Here's my thing. Rocking a crowd is what I love to do. All the work that comes with comedy is the part that sucks.
The business
rocking
of show.
That crowd, rocking that crowd's the best part in the world, man.
Here.
So, I mean, there's work to everything. You just got to figure out what balance you want to put on it.
I think that's part of the reason I'm a little bit jealous over the guys who have made it to the next level, like Preacher and Ben right now, because they now have people, and even Akeem Woods, they're at that level now where now that's all they worry about, because they have other people who are like, hey, you're going to be here these dates. You're going to be here's your flight. Here's your travel. Here's your itinerary. All they have to do now is show up and do the show. And that's where I always wanted to be. Just tell me where I need to be. And that's it. The part I hate about this business is the constant, the booking, the booking your flights, the point A to point B.
Yeah,
I just want to show up and tell jokes. That's
The great the gravy, the easy part is on stage. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Yeah. If that was just my job to show up, tell my little jokes and get off stage, oh my God, life would be heaven.
I want to be able to bitch at somebody about the flight I got that's not me. You know? I sort of be like, I can't believe they put me in a middle seat. No, Corey, you tell them I do this again next time for usually me, it's like, yeah, but I saved $65.
Yeah.
Who booked me at Frontier at 5:30? It was me.
Yeah, it was me.
Yeah, that was me. Bad. Once again.
Yeah.
And that line that you said earlier about, hey, you find something that you love and never work a day in your life. I wish I could say the word, but I can't. But yeah, that's completely false. I love stand-up comedy. I love comedy in general, and all my jobs have to do with comedy, and I'm exhausted.
Yeah. I mean, look at your relationships. You love your kids. You love your wife. You love your whole family. It's work. Everything you love is work if you want to keep it together. The part that makes it worth it is when it's quiet and everything's cool, you remember there's a part of this you love.
That's right.
And that's the most important thing is to keep the part of it you love, the part of it you love.
Jerry Seinfeld had a great line. And I've been looking for something to binge watch. So I started watching Seinfeld on Netflix. I never watched it when it was on there.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge Seinfeld fan at all. Never really cared for his stand-up, but you got to respect and appreciate what the man's done.
Absolutely.
And for himself, you know. Up until like 3 years ago, I think he was the highest grossing comedian every year. I think Kevin Hart finally topped him, and then Chappelle came and everything else. But one of the things that he said was people always go, man, how can you sit there and write jokes for 5 hours a day? That's got to be exhausting. He's like, you know, so that was in my head for a while. Like, yeah, I am a hard worker. And he's like, and then one day I was walking through New York and see these guys working on like a skyscraper up there, lugging stuff up on their backs. And Bill, he's like, I don't have a hard job.
No,
those guys are up there for 11 hours. Yeah. I'm trying to figure out how to make eating a Pop-Tart funny. He's like, I got it pretty good. And every now and then, like James said, all my jobs revolve around comedy. Sometimes you got to take a step back and be like, man, none of this is really, I'm not saving lives out here. Like no one's going to die if I don't get this punchline right today. Mm-hmm. You know,
if I don't get this, if I don't get this D joke perfect.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to die.
We're not a hostage negotiator. We're like, oh my God, if this one doesn't work, he's going to jump. Okay, here we are. A guy walked. He jumped. You know? When I was bartending, I used to work at an Italian restaurant. I was bartending. I used to tell people, at the end of the day, we're in the spaghetti business. Remember that. And that's it. Now, there's an importance to what we do. There's an importance to everything everyone does. The barista at Starbucks can literally make or break your day, depending on what happens. But it's not that the job is important. It's that you making the people you work for, meaning the customers and the people around you, maintaining a balance of making them feel happy, not giving up too much of your own dignity. All these things are important. Yes. But the job... The job's just ha-ha jokes, you know, at a bar.
That's why I think coming from the service industry, like I'll be out with friends who never waited tables and they're like, man, you're so patient with servers. I'm like, why wouldn't you be, dude?
Why wouldn't you be?
If you forget to get my refill, I don't care. Can you get it when you get it second?
Yeah.
If my food was overcooked, that was back there, whatever. It's a busy night. Things happen. Do you mind doing this again? And the thing is, if someone comes up to me after a comedy show and goes, you know, God forbid it hasn't straight up happened, but nobody's come up and said, everything you did up there was terrible. I didn't find you funny whatsoever. If someone said something to me, that would hurt me a little bit because this is my dream. This is what I love doing.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine there's any waiter who's like, this was my dream. And like they go home at the end of the night going, I should have brought the mild sauce and I brought a medium. And you know what? I just don't deserve to be in this business anymore.
I want to go back to medical sales. This ain't working out, you know?
It's like, I'm not going to come down on some guy who's obviously not doing his dream job.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly right, man. That's so funny. I should have got him ranch. Why didn't I get ranch?
Blue cheese and ranch, they put them side by side. You don't know one's chunky, one's not. But the chunk's under the surface. It's a guessing game. Yeah. What am I going to do, sniff it?
I'm going to go back to being a judge. You know, this isn't it for me, man.
I'm going back to law school. My mom was like...
That being so said, silly. There probably is that one guy out there that came from a long line of waiters, and he's just like,
his family crest has a dude serving a turkey leg to a King Henry, you know,
and one of the little notepads.
Yeah,
his name is actually Gaston.
All
right, yeah.
His family words are, "We write it all down."
He goes,
"We always write it.
Write it down."
What was that movie with Tom Hanks? The one where he's searching the religious.
Oh, the Da Vinci Codes.
Yeah, it's like he's like that guy in the Da Vinci Code. He goes home, takes off his shirt, grabs, flogs himself. He's like, they asked for honey mustard.
Hey, but all of us here know for a fact, we were driving somewhere 2 days later. We were like, I never got him his ranch. You know,
I actually woke up one time with dreams that I forgot to bring ketchup to table 53. Start putting on my pants. And my girlfriend at the time's like, where are you going? I'm like, 53 needs ketchup. She's like, it's 4 a.m. I'm like, they've been waiting forever.
Guys, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back on Real Labs 104.1.
Hey, if you're looking for adult entertainment, then why would you go anywhere else but Grandview Live? Grandview Live Gentlemen's Club is the elite adult club of Daytona Beach and Volusia County. They're located in the heart of Daytona in the Seabreeze Entertainment District. Now, they provide you guys with sexy live entertainment, not just for the gentlemen, but ladies love them too, because they have everything the entire group would want for a great night on the town. They have 4 bars, 2 stages, VIP seating, full bottle service, and a nightly DJ who will keep the party going all night. So if you're looking for adult entertainment, Grandview Live is the place you want to be. And remember when you get there to let them know that Real Labs sent you.
Welcome back, everybody. You're still listening to Real Labs on 104.1. I'm your host today, Mr. James Yon, comedian extraordinaire. I'm joined by two other comedians in the virtual studio, Mr. Mike Herlihy and Miguel Colon Jr. Now, guys, did a little comedy the past weekend. I did some corporate events, which can be very fun. Corporate events are the events you do for people. They're usually private. So I did a private neighborhood clubhouse in a very rich neighborhood in Tampa. Believe it or not, they exist. And it was funny because typically when you do these kind of events, there's a certain kind of comic who will do it. It'll be a guy that you know is not going to be too offensive. He's not going to be too edgy because you want to make sure no one feels offended because these communities, you know, sometimes have some older people. Well, I love this show because it wasn't one of those safe shows. The comedians that they chose were eclectic. Like a good buddy of mine was there. I believe, Mike, you know him. I don't know if you know Miguel Colon Jr. His name is Kyle Roos.
I know Kyle Roos. Yeah.
You know Kyle? Okay, yeah.
Kyle Roos on the corporate show?
Yeah.
That's what's up.
You know where this is going, right?
Yeah.
So, Kyle's a very funny comedian. Let me first preface this story.
Was it like a workplace harassment company or something like that? a law group that specializes in just...
He has
the right to use that slur if he wants to, because a bunch of people died in Vietnam for it. I got this, guys. It's my first year in law school. Vietnam, you won that one or what? Yeah. No?
Kyle Roos. No, Kyle is not a clean-cut comic. Like, no, man, he's not. He's very funny, but the dude has some great jokes. Mm-hmm. So I was waiting to see what would happen. You know when you're waiting like this, like your hands under your chin, like, ooh, this is going to be good. Like, here it comes. And let me just tell you, he did not disappoint. He was dropping every bomb that you could imagine in the English language.
He brought some back. This was popular in 1806. It's a term for Irish immigrants. A skittle blitz. Wow.
He did 6 minutes. Me and Matt Fernandez. Matt Fernandez, shout out to him. He was there as well. We were back there going 6 minutes. He did 6 minutes on Guy Fieri's wife's vagina.
Mm-hmm.
Like
art. Art. Flavor Town.
That's what he said. Art. That's what he said. Beautiful. Masterful. Yeah.
I feel like Salieri must have felt in the presence of Mozart. Everything I've made is trash compared to this.
Man, And I loved it because while you were watching him tell the jokes, guys, there was no shame.
There was the bravery of a bearded boxer.
Yes!
Just in there swinging away, and you're like, wow.
The F count was up to 38 in the first 2 minutes. It was
like
beautiful.
The first VHS tape of Scarred Face before you switched the second one in.
But he did a great job, and to his credit, the reason I bring this whole story up, he made that whole audience laugh their butt off. He took that group of very, very, very rich people and just made them just forget who they were, forget what their status was in life, and just have a good time. So I applaud Mr. Cal Roos, man, for just going in there and not afraid to be himself. Because the booker knew who he was. Shout out to Kojo Prince. Kojo booked him. He knew exactly who Kyle was, and he had the belief in him to be like, look, I chose this guy for a reason, and this is my own neighborhood, so hey, do what you do.
It's nothing but top hats and monocles, and he's like, I think I'm going to go in with the Guy Fieri's wife vagina stuff. Keep it relatable. Yeah.
Guy Fieri's wife's vagina, I think, was in Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. Guess which one it was.
I thought it was in Man vs. Food.
Oh, my God. That's going to Flavor Town right there, yeah. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. Yeah.
I love when like the opener for you, and this is a kind of different scenario because Kyle killed it, but I love when the opener for you sometimes is so detached from, like, what they
reality
should be doing. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're just watching it, and it's like, it's beautiful for a moment just because you're like, my God, if only there was a part of me that could not notice what was going on, to be so oblivious as this person. And they're just like conducting a symphony of failure in front of you, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's also when you got that guy in front of you that's so far off from what the audience is enjoying.
Yeah,
you know that automatically just you not being them is going to get the audience on your side.
Yeah,
you get to walk up. It's like when you start dating a girl and she starts talking about, like, my last boyfriend, you know, he hit me. He took off with my car in the middle of the night and cleared out my ATM. I'm like, oh, I'm a 10.
Yeah.
I'm a 10 right now.
I got compared
to that.
I love how when, like, they come off stage and they look at you and they're like, what do you think? And you're like, oh, God, I don't have the time. Let me go up there, clean this up real quick, and then I'll come back and explain to you what I witnessed.
Hey, if there's any comedians listening to this who are young and upcoming, and let me give you guys a clue. If you ever go on stage and you're not sure how you did, and you get off the stage and come up to one of us veteran guys and you ask us, hey, man, what did you think about my set? If we say this to you, it didn't go well. If we turn to you and say, how do you think you did?
Yeah,
that means it didn't go well.
I'll tell you this one too. If you're not opening for me, if I'm there just watching a show, and you come walking off and you see a giant smile on my face, and I'm not telling you like, oh my God, you were amazing, I'm just smiling, you did horrible and it was amazing for me. If you see me, I'm just slow clapping like, bravo.
If the only laughs you hear during your set are from the back corner where the comedians hang out, just know it's not going well for you.
If and multiple people give you the light, including an audience member, you know, it's just time to go.
The two times you never want to get that how do you think you did response are after a comedy set or after sex. Like when you're at your girl and you're like, did you enjoy that? Well, how do you think you did?
She's like, I will tell you this. We were both there.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You know? Yes. Yes.
Let me tell you right now, like, anytime a guy does anything, he wants to show it off to his guy friends. Anytime he accomplished. So if we're like out on the golf team, we hit a drive, you just stand there with your guys, like staring at where you hit the ball. If you put in a garbage disposal, you bring the guys over to look at the job you done. Like, if your guy isn't after sex standing there with three of his buddies popping open a beer in a bathroom staring at you on the bed, he knows he didn't do a good job.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah, he's instead just like watching the game tape over and he's like, oh, that's where I fumbled.
Yeah. You know?
Maybe that's it is time to start using performance enhancing drugs.
Yeah. I stand by him.
Yeah.
Well, I want to bring something up to you guys real quick because we know that Halloween is quickly approaching. And I've just in a recent couple years, 3 years, I say, been really getting into horror movies. Like, I used to not like them as much when I was younger, but I'm really starting to appreciate them now. So I figured, let me watch a horror movie because, you know, it's close to Halloween, man. We got Halloween movies out there to watch. So I tried to watch the new Halloween movie. The one I saw 2 years ago was pretty good. So I'm like, oh, this is going to be great.
The one with Jamie Lee Curtis came back 2 years ago,
yes,
right?
Yeah, yeah, it was pretty good. Yeah, yeah, it wasn't bad. This one, unfortunately, was hot garbage.
Well, did Rob Zombie direct this one?
I don't know. I hope he did.
Find out. Yeah.
Because Rob should go back to playing crappy music. Because this was not good. Not good at all. Not in the slightest bit. It was like...
not entertaining.
Dumpster fire. It's a riot. Dumpster fire.
After the movie, did it come up to you and go, how did I do?
Yeah, it did. I did. How do you think you did?
How do you think you did?
Michael just sold.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever watched a full horror movie. I've never watched really? The really? Nightmare. I'm not a here's the thing. Like that stuff, like I don't like gore? I've been held up at gunpoint before when I was bartending.
Oh wow.
And that didn't scare me. That was like, okay, very easy. Here you go, done, money, blah, yeah. blah, blah. But like, for some reason, a little Asian kid running around screaming like a cat with black eyes, that will give me nightmares for months.
Oh, the Grudge. The Grudge.
I can't
that
do
was
it.
Yeah.
Like, I can't, yeah. I can't do it. Like, the Freddy Krueger, the Jason yeah. thing. And I get that they become campy and funnier as you go along. But, like, I think the only quote-unquote horror movies I ever was able to sit through was I watched most of the Scream stuff. But that
yeah,
was Scream, more like
great.
A comedy.
Yeah. They were.
Yeah, yeah, that was Scream more like comedy fun. Than yeah. scary. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I was going to ask you guys. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm going
to go. No, no, no. Go ask.
No, I was going to ask you guys, honestly, when's the last time you saw a good horror movie? Not scary, because we all, you know, when you're an adult, it's hard to scare us because we've seen everything on TV or movies. When's the last good horror movie that you actually enjoyed? Like, man, that was pretty good.
Maybe this doesn't count because it was a series, and you could do so much more with like a mini series than
you can
do with a movie.
You can develop stuff, yeah.
But I love The Haunting of Hill House.
That was great.
So enjoyed the story. It was so
that was
cool.
good.
They had some dope jump scares in it. Something
they
about
did.
It that I learned is they had a lot of like. If you watch it again, you'll see in the background they hit a lot of ghosts in the background of it.
They did.
I really enjoyed The Haunting of Hill House, and I just watched Black Mass. Which was directed by the same director.
It was really good.
It was really
yes.
good. It was.
Yes.
And I think, though, it's unfair to judge that against a movie because they have, like, what, 9 one-hour episodes to
yeah.
sell me on a story and build character.
And they're almost little vignettes. Let's
yeah.
be honest. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I did watch Black Mass. That was good.
Yeah, Black Mass was good, too. I'm really excited. There's a horror movie coming out with Ethan Hawke called Black Phone. Have you seen
the
trailer?
And I heard he's very good in it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Basic trailer of it early it's like the 90s this Ethan Hawke is a kidnapper and he kidnaps this little boy and he locks him in this room and there's like a black old school rotary phone in there which at the time I think is supposed to be a time appropriate phone but mm-hmm. it doesn't work. He like ripped all the cords out and stuff like that and one day while the little boy's in there the phone rings and it's the ghost of all this guy's victims helping the little boy escape.
Oh,
teaching him
dope.
Things and stuff, yeah.
That's
and they're
dope.
And they're teaching him things about the kidnapper. This is what he did to me. This is what he does. I got out this far one day, and I saw there was a lock here. And one of the little boys,
wow.
I guess, is like a boxer, and he's teaching him to fight. He's like, you got to fight. So it's all these like little boys that got kidnapped teaching this kid what to do to escape, to get out. And I thought, this looks so cool.
Just off premise alone, that sounds absolutely amazing.
Yeah, yes. I like a good – when like – horror movies don't scare me enough to bother me for nights. Sometimes thrillers will get me, though. Like, I'm the other way, Mike. Like, sometimes a thriller movie will get me, and I'm like, you know, I'll see something like, oh, they chopped this dude's foot off, and I keep thinking about, what if I cut my ankle on a piece of metal here, and now I can't stop thinking about it. But horror movies don't, but there's been some thrillers that have definitely bothered me.
You know, in M. Night Shyamalan Online, Ding Dong Twist, I think that Ethan Hawke movie, Ethan Hawke is on the other side of the door, and through his radio comes all these kidnappers from the past who got caught kidnapping children, telling Ethan Hawke how to get away with kidnapping a child.
You gotta get the fat ones. You got a skinny one. You can crawl out of anything. You get the fat ones. You live 2 miles away from a city. He can't go anywhere.
That's right.
You know, the last phone call he gets is from R. Kelly. As long as you don't pee on him,
yeah,
you'll be fine.
Hey, Ethan Hawke, I'm about to give you up.
I'm gonna cut a deal, baby.
This is like, my life.
They're like, R. Kelly, all you got to do is write down all the names of the people who molested children. Damn, I got to write.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I believe it was Kel. I think it also was Stan. It could have been Jeremy. I'll take you to the treehouse where they pee on all their little kids. Wow. Like,
yeah. All right, guys, we got about a minute left. Been a great show. I want to ask you guys, where are you performing this week?
This week I've got nothing else, but it is the 29th, 30th, 31st. We are hosting our 22nd annual Drunk People in Costumes Halloween party at the Sausage Castle. It's a big event. We have carnival rides, musical entertainers coming. And the thing about it is it's an 80-acre estate with carnival rides, amphitheaters, wrestling rings, everything you want to do. It's all included. You just have to be a member at MikeBusey.com.
Nice.
Very nice. Mike, where are you going to be?
Let's see. On the 21st, I believe that's Thursday, I'm going to be out at Mammoth Oak Brewing. They're doing their one-year anniversary up in Leesburg. It's going to be me, Ali Flores, and Chris Alexander. I'm sure Taylor Boyd will be out there, too. It's a Orlando comedy event. So looking forward to it. I've never done Mammoth Oak, but I've heard really fun things about it.
I've done it. It's great.
Nice. Cool. If you guys are in the Lakeland area, you want something to do, I will be at the infamous Winner Circle, if you guys want to come up there. I'll be with Morgan Gallo from Jacksonville. So if you guys want to come up there and have a good time, please do. On behalf of myself, Mike Hurley, and Miguel Colon Jr., thank you guys for listening to Real Laughs. We'll see you guys tomorrow.